We have another sermon, the title of which is a rhetorical question. Do I have faith? And the I in this case is not just me. You're not just going to sit out there and listen to me work through my own faith-related issues this morning. It's a collective I, because it's the kind of question that all of us can ask. Do I have faith? Well, what is faith? And first of all, faith is not, as I've mentioned many times before, I think, faith is not, as Mark Twain said, believing in something you know isn't true. That's not faith. That's some kind of psychosis, and we're not called to that. The writer of the book of Hebrews has given us a helpful little definition for what faith is right at the beginning of our reading. And in this translation it says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Faith is an interesting thing. And it's interesting for a lot of reasons, not least of which it's one of those things that is just not amenable to sort of our stereotypical or our usual way of proving things. We prove things on the basis of mathematical formulas to prove how physics works. We prove things in courts of law with evidence of a particular kind. Sometimes experts come and say things. But faith is different, because faith is one of those things that you can't really look at and say, because of this, I have faith, at least not often, because faith comes first. And often I think we would like to be able to prove it, but really when it comes right down to it, all the things that really matter in life, it can't really be proved that way. Love, for example, is a classic example of this. How do you prove that someone loves you? Well, you can't. At least you can't beyond the slightest shadow of a doubt, because whatever you bring up to demonstrate love, I can probably counter with some other reason. When I was younger, I was a competitive debater. And being a competitive debater gives you lots of useful things. It does have one significant downside. If you're a youngish male person, your brain isn't fully cooked yet. Because of the way debates work, you walk into the room, the judge flips a coin, and then you find out whether you're debating for something or against something. And so if you're young, you begin to think that everything is relative, that there is no right or wrong, and you grow out of it at some point. At least I did. It took a while, perhaps longer than it should have. But one of the things that debate did do for me is it gave me the ability to look at things from a lot of different perspectives, which can frequently be very valuable. If you come to me with anything that you think demonstrates or proves that somebody loves you, there's another explanation. It's wrong, but there's always another explanation. This person married you because of financial interests. They're helping you raise children, so someone will take care of them when they're old. You know, there's always other explanations that are plausible. Wrong as they may be, they're still plausible. And faith is the same. Because those things that really matter are hard to prove. Whether you're courageous or just suicidal sometimes looks exactly the same. How do we know which is which? Well, how do I know I have faith? Well, if faith is being sure of what I hope for and certain of what I do not see, there still needs to be some kind of a basis on which this can happen. When we look at the first example of this, this is one I find quite helpful. In verse 3, it says, "By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command." We accept this by faith because we can't prove it. No matter what anyone tells you, you can't prove it. Now, you can't prove that the Big Bang happened either. There are all these things that happened way back when that we simply decide we believe in them. Now, at this point, you may be thinking, probably not because most of you have been at church for a long time, but you may be thinking, so faith is just a matter of making something up and then believing it. Well, no, that's not exactly what it is either. Because faith is partly what you have faith in, not just what you believe. And when I think of God creating the universe, I have faith that He did it because of all these other things that have come along to confirm my faith. The mistake we often make is we want the confirmation before the faith, but you can't confirm something that hasn't happened yet. And sometimes you get the confirmation and some you don't. When we drop down a little bit, we see Abraham. Abraham, by faith, was called to go and live in a place that he'd never heard of before, and that someday he would have thousands and thousands, uncounted descendants. Abraham never saw those descendants. Nobody sees multiple generations of their descendants. At some point, you run out of life and they keep going. But he did get some confirmation along the way in that he had a child, that he and Sarah together had a baby. When Sarah was barren and she was old, and so was he. The faith that they had came before that. They believed that God was going to do this. That was the faith. The confirmation of the faith was the birth of Isaac. They didn't suddenly have faith when Isaac showed up. Their faith was strengthened, I'm sure, because the confirmation of the promise was before them, like every other baby squalling away, making them happy. But a confirmation of faith is one of those things we look for after we have faith. If there's a drawback to Hebrews 11, which is frequently referred to as the faith chapter, because that's what the writer of Hebrews, whoever that was, talks over and over again about all these different people with faith. We look at the things they had faith in, and we think, is that what I'm supposed to do too? I'm okay with the faith that God created the universe, because everybody takes the creation of the universe by faith. Whether they do it out of physics or astrophysics or creationism, doesn't matter. That one's easy. But all these other things, I've never been called to go into the wilderness somewhere. I've never been told I'm going to have lots and lots of descendants who are going to change the world. What do I have faith in? And does it matter? And is it the same? Well, it is. Because faith is faith. If you have faith for a big thing or a small thing, it doesn't matter. You still have faith. It's like the difference between two balloons, one of which is really big and one of which is smaller. Now, this one has more air in it, but which one is more full? Neither. They're exactly the same. They're both full. Full is full. You can't be fuller than full. Well, maybe around Thanksgiving and Christmas you can try it, but that's never a good outcome, is it? Faith is faith. If I have faith in the things that I'm called to have faith in, I am in the footsteps of Abraham. I had faith, yeah, I talked about it too with my kids, but I had faith that my kids were going to finish high school, unlike me, and they were not going to start smoking, also unlike me. And it worked out. Now, I said, I worked on this a little bit, but then again, Abraham also had to get up and move to exercise his faith. Does that mean that everything that I've wanted for my kids always happens? Of course not. But we have faith that what we build into our children, what we build into our friends, will be taken and enhanced by the Holy Spirit to accomplish what God has promised He will do in our lives without seeing it. Because you can never see it until it happens. People sometimes have this peculiar idea that faith comes after the confirmation. And that just doesn't make sense. That's like saying your theory comes after the confirmation. That's not a theory. That's an observation. There's nothing wrong with observations, but don't be making mistakes about which is which. There's nothing wrong with looking for the confirmation of the faith you have. But you don't wait for confirmation to have faith. You have faith first. We believe that God created the universe because He loves us. That He created a universe where beings would come up, us, to be in relationship with Him. We believe that He created it as a good universe. We believe on the basis of Scripture and our own experience that while that has fallen, and the reality of the fall is before us at all times, we also believe, we have faith, that at some point God will return, whatever that looks like, and fix it all again. And we look forward to that, knowing full well that most of us, possibly all of us, will not see that with this set of eyes. And when we believe this, when we look forward to this and have faith in God's return to make everything make sense, we're putting ourselves in a huge line of people who believe the same thing. In the same way that Abraham died before he saw all of his descendants, we could very well die before we see God return in whatever that looks like. Does that mean that we suddenly stop having faith? Of course not. Because we look at those things that we've had faith in and we see the confirmation that makes it easier. The faith comes first. Do you only love people who have proved that they're worthy of your love? Or do you only love people who have proved that they love you first? Well, we've already talked about how difficult it is to prove that, and that's not how love works. Because if it did, nobody would love babies. Babies can't do anything for you. When was the last time a baby took out the garbage? That's got nothing to do with it. Love comes where it does because of who we are and who the other person is. And later on, we see confirmation of the reality of their love for us. But when it first starts, when you fall in love with somebody, you're just taking a big old jump into the unknown. When it works out, it's glorious. But it's a jump. Kierkegaard talked about a leap of faith, about saying that you get to this point where your intellect takes you, and from that, that's as far as it can take you. And then you jump out in faith. And you believe in what you can't even see, but you believe in it. We believe in a loving God, even in the midst of a world that's in chaos and violence and destruction. We believe in spite of it. We're not indifferent to this. We don't pretend it's not there. We see it, and we don't understand how it all works together, but we still believe in a loving God. Because we've seen that confirmation. We've seen how God has demonstrated his love for us in ways that we never would have expected. If I have any crossover with Abraham, it's that there was a time when we were pretty sure we couldn't have children. It happens to lots of people. I thought about adoption and realized that that wasn't for us. I don't think that makes us bad people. I think it just means that that's who we are. And I think in some ways God was preparing us for the fact that, well, we were going to have kids. Two at a time. They just turned 20 this past week. How did that happen? You turn your back on them and they're 20. And they've given you grandkids. We had faith in God. When we were going through the process of discovering that because of medical issues, we probably couldn't have children without some assistance, we had faith not so much that we would have children, but that God loved us, and that God was going to see us through this, and that God was going to make this work out. How? We didn't know. I never had a vision where God came and said, you are going to have twins. He didn't even come and say, you're going to have kids. But he did show up fairly frequently in the guise of other human beings saying, I love you. I haven't forgotten you. The fact that you don't have children isn't some sign of sin in your life. You haven't caused this. There isn't something you need to do to fix it. I am going to take care of this. And he did. Here I am, 20 years later. Kids and grandkids. Extraordinary experience, an extraordinary life, a confirmation that my faith in God as a good God is not misplaced. But the faith was first. It was pretty small at times, kind of flickery almost. But the faith was there. The faith itself is a gift of God. It says that in other places in Scripture, that God gives us the gift of faith so that we might believe, and then we take the faith ourselves, and then we make it our own. And And then we wait to see what God's going to do with it. It's not easy. It's hard. It's really hard. But it's worth it. And if we keep our eyes open for those confirmations, we will see them. My daughter's picture is on the cover of Maclean's magazine. Who would have thought? Her name has now been read more than mine ever will be by anybody who looks up the photographer credit. She's in university doing a Bachelor of Fine Arts. I have faith that she will not be poor her entire life. Poverty in and of itself, there's nothing wrong with that. I have faith that she will be successful because she works hard and because God loves her too. We have faith in those things that we desire as we run those desires through what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Having faith that you're going to win the lottery is a little bit different than having faith that God is going to care for you. We have faith in things that we can't see because of who we are in relationship with God. The analogy of love is a good one because when you first fall in love with someone, when you're first in a relationship, you don't really know them all that well from that perspective. And depending on your personality, sometimes you find it hard to trust people or whatever it might be. We all have issues we need to work through. And a close relationship is the best way to find out what your issues are. But if your concern is that they might not stick around, every time they do, is a confirmation of that love and makes it stronger. It's the same with faith. Our faith begins small. We say, God, I believe that you'll take care of me after I die, which is forever down the road. That's an easy one, really. But then we start thinking about, I have faith that you will change who I am from the inside out, so I'll become a better person. I'll drop some of those habits that I really enjoy, but aren't good for me. Or the people around me. And we have faith that those changes will come, and they do. And our faith grows. The gift of faith, kindled within us by the Holy Spirit, grows as we exercise our faith and we see it coming to fruition in different ways. Not all of it. I have faith that one day this will be a world of peace. It appears that's a long way off. I don't think I'm going to see it in my lifetime, but I still have faith in it. And I work towards it. Not because what I do validates my faith, but because my faith gives me the energy to continue moving forward. If I had no faith, if I had no hope in the world, I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't have got out of bed. None of us would have. But with faith comes hope. And with the confirmation of our faith comes that deep-seated sense that our faith is in a trustworthy person, in God. Do I have faith? Yes. Do I have as much faith as I want? No. Do I have more than I used to? Yes. And I'm guessing those are the same answers that all of us would have. But I do have faith. And sometimes I want to beat myself up for not having enough. Then I look at Abraham, who decided to have a baby with a servant, and he was still blessed, and there's hope for me, just like there's hope for you. There's hope for all of us. Because when we look at that question, that rhetorical question of do I have faith, for all of us, the answer is yes.